Come on, let me hear you say holy. Ready for what God is set to do in this conference? Come on, come on, come on. I say, are you really ready for what God is saying? Is anyone here who cannot feel this conference is about him or her? Who is the fellow? Because it's not every time that Jesus comes to town that he comes for everybody. If you ask Nicodemus, Zacchaeus will tell you, I didn't look like it, but it was about me. He was a short man with a bad reputation. So everything was working against him. His height was a disadvantage. His reputation was a major disadvantage. A tax collector. But yet Jesus had determined it was about him. Who is that fellow that tonight is about? You may not look like it. Your credentials may not look like it. You might not have the qualifications. Even your neighbor might be feeling, maybe, are you in the right place? Did you come to the right conference? Do you know that was how they felt about Zacchaeus when Jesus was coming to town? They did not even see him. He was that short. He had to climb a tree just to have a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus walked in. And what will he say? Zacchaeus is about you. Come down from that tree. You won't need to climb because we're going to your house. I see the glory of God tabernacle in somebody's house tonight. Oh, you didn't hear me. I say the glory of God tabernacle in somebody's house tonight. Something will move into your life. Something will move into your house. Something will move into your marriage. Something will move into your career. Something will move into your ministry. And I see a total redefinition. If you believe that is about you, can you scream, that's me? Father, we thank you for what you do tonight. We are ready to receive from you. And we declare we will not fail our generation, but we receive what you have for us in the name of Jesus. Can you celebrate Jesus in this house, everybody? Glory to God. Before you have your seats, I need you to help me honor your man of God, your pastor, and his beautiful wife, Pastor Emmanuel and Tokwe Adewale. Please, can you celebrate them? If you don't celebrate them, we won't preach tonight, too. You know, let me say one word that describes your pastor. Should I say captures your pastor? Heart. You know, there are people that do it, and there are people that do it from here. Your pastor does it from here. Someone say, how do I know? Because I've known him, like he said, before most of you met him. He served me as my personal assistant. He's one of the best personal assistants till date. His heart. And you know, people that do things from here, they get everything. You know, some people are doing it to be seen. Some people are just doing it from here. And that's why I'm not surprised what God is doing through his life, ministry-wise, today. And the Lord told me while you were talking, he said, you've not seen anything. I'm going to pray for you when I'm done tonight. In fact, God told me, he said, that assignment is more important than any other assignment. He said, you've not seen anything. He said, what you've seen is in preparation for what is coming. Mark my words. I don't just say words lightly. I just say what's, something happened today that shocked me. One of my sons that flew from out of town for my birthday. I didn't know whether I was in the spirit. You know, that kind of spirit that come upon Kianesa. Maybe that was what came upon me that night. Because when he told me what I told him, if anybody had told me I said it, I would have said no. That would have been rude. Somebody came, flew out of town to your birthday. And he said, you came to me in the mid, you know, when the anointing broke out in the course of, I lost it. I didn't even know what I was doing. Apparently, I grabbed him and I said, don't worry.
if they let you, he said, if they literally say they were going to fire him. And I said, it's okay. So they fired him today. So he called me, he said, you said it. I said, no, I did not say. He said, you said it. My wife is a witness, because when I go back, I told my wife, pastor said, they will soon fire me and it will be okay. He said, so when they fired me today, I remember, because he said, when you said it, it did not make sense. He said, it felt good. Everything was working. So he came to my wife. I know pastor is a prophet, but what he said, when they fire me, it will be okay. He said, when it came to pass, I'm like, what kind of prophecy is that? He said, but I know it from the Lord. It's the will of God for me to be fired. I'm talking about what happened 2 p.m. today. He was called 2 p.m. today. He said, you have been fired. And he said, pastor said it. When it looked good, I felt bad. I said, why will I be prophesying people will be fired? But apparently, it's the will of God for him to be fired. Because for certain people, if they are not fired, they will not be fired. Maybe you are in that place of comfort that is compromising your future. A word will come to you that will fire you into your destiny. And for some people, it might be literally fire, so that they can be fired. I'm not really love to be fired like that. If the fire will fire you, there's a place you are. You know, comfort can be the greatest enemy of destiny. Come on, is somebody listening to me? Comfort can be what? The greatest enemy of what? Destiny. You are sitting down there parading yourself as a local champion, and God created a global champion. You are feeling comfortable in nothingness, and yet you think you have arrived. And heaven looks at you and said, the best gift you can give him is him fired. Because if he's not fired, he will not be fired. So when he told me 2 p.m. this afternoon, I said, okay, what do we do? He said, you said it. You are the one that will now tell us what to do. You profess. He said, when everything looked good, you said, don't worry. When they fire you, it's okay. I said, when it happened, I said, he said it. I'm like, I said, did I say he said you said it? He said it. I'm like, well, you can't lie. But that's the word of the Lord. It has its own DNA. God does not consult you, including the prophet. He does not consult the prophet before he speaks. The prophet is just the agent. And that's why the prophet does not have the capacity to bring those words to pass. Because those words are bigger than him. Tonight, a word that will locate you in destiny, that will position you for what God has for you. I declare that word is coming to you. If you are receiving that word, I want you to excitedly rejoice right now. Come on, in anticipation of what is coming to you. So Pastor Emmanuel, God told me, say, everything that has happened until now is in preparation for what is about to happen. So if you think anything has happened that God has dazzled you, flabbergasted you, marooned you, you've not seen anything. Because what is about to happen? Hey, I speak as a prophet tonight. Really, this will look like a child's play. So, I remember those days when we were playing. I speak as a prophet of God. He said, you will refer to this phase as when we were playing. Wow. So this is where you are taking us to. Father, we thank you. We receive everything you have for us tonight. And we declare we will not be disappointed. If you believe that, shout amen. While still standing up, grab your Bibles and open to the book of Psalm 262 and verse 11. You know, when I saw the theme of this conference, I was thinking of calling your pastor and say, okay, what were you seeing? And the Lord said, before you call him, let me call your attention to what I'm saying. So the Lord took me to Psalm 62 verse 11. When I saw loud and clear, he said, this is what I'm saying. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. The power belongs unto God. God spoke once. It was so loud and clear that I heard it twice. He said it, and it was so real that the echo that followed it was so strong, and it made it look like I was hearing him twice. That power belongs to God.
So I see somebody encountering power in this conference. Loud and clear, he spoke. And I heard it. Somebody is going to finish this conference. And the conviction that will be as a result of the revelations that will come out of this conference will be so strong that nobody will be able to talk you out of it. And I see you running with such conviction into greater places. Are you ready tonight? Father, we receive the ministry of your spirit and we declare everything set for tonight will be delivered on compromise in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and be seated. It's good to be back in Victory House. You are welcome to our church. If you are visiting for the first time, this is a good place to come, and please come back and be part of us. So I say, is it not supposed to be a guest? If I'm a guest, then what are you? You're a secondary guest. Because if I'm a guest, that makes me the primary guest. And you are the secondary guest. So if you are planning to welcome me, thank you. But really, I should be the one welcoming you. And I was not playing. I meant it. Amen. I kind of feel uncomfortable. Don't feel uncomfortable because it's the truth. Bible says speaking the truth in love. Okay. Are you ready for what God has for us tonight? Tonight we're going to be so fed. My boss will be here tomorrow. And you know when the boss, the big boss is around, you know, we eat. So let me do my small piece so that when the big boys or the big boss showed up, we too can get blessed. So as I was thinking about tonight, the Lord began to take me through a few things that will help you to make the most of what God is saying. God is saying something at this junction, at this moment, in this critical season. I call this season a critical season. It's a season where new stars are being launched. New voices are being announced. Can I speak freely tonight? New faces, about to be discovered in every space. God spoke to me in the middle of the pandemic. He said, pandemic is a reset season. It's a reset for a new move of God. Not just on the pulpit, but everywhere. A move of God that will cut across every space, every industry, every mountain. And this move will drown certain voices and release new voices. This move will announce some new faces. People that were not known, people that nobody listened to before, all of a sudden will become so prominent. Because God has cleared the ground and has prepared a new platform for certain people to be announced. And I came here tonight to help the unleashing of some of those people here tonight. Oh, come on, who am I talking to? Can the person I'm talking to, can you identify yourself so that we can dismiss the rest of the people? I'm not if you know it's okay. There's no point wasting our time. If it's not for you, we can as well open the door and say, you can go. So that those, who are the people God sent me to? Because apparently heaven had some people in mind where this NICOS conference is concerned. Are you here? Okay. Since we're here, let's fire on. So it's a critical season. It's a season that we lead to the relegation of certain voices and the unleashing of new voices. Because apparently there are people that God will not be able to work with concerning his agenda on earth. There are people that their agenda will contradict or will conflict with God's agenda. And as a result of that, he will move them aside. And some of them are his children. They are filled with their ways. And God says, what I need to be done, what I need done in your generation is too critical that I cannot accommodate this nonsense. I love the scripture that says, is it James chapter 1 verse 21? He said, wherefore lay apart all what?
all naughtiness and superfluity of what? All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love the old King James. Superfluity of what? Naughtiness. The overflowing of wickedness. Lay it aside. Because if you don't lay it aside, you will be laid aside. There are certain things you must lay aside in order to embrace the new. The new is here. The new is here. The new is here. The new is here. And if you cannot align, you will be taken away from the equation. Say, okay, since you can align, you are so set in your ways, and I cannot afford you interfere with what I need done. Push aside. And one of the major ingredients of this season is humility. The ability to submit to God and even people, including people that are much younger than you, that left, that you know, that got to school, but I didn't get that. Maybe some of them were not even born by the time you were in school. But apparently some of them will have what you did for your next level. The question is, will you be willing to say, okay, can you teach me? The ability to learn from all levels, the elders, your peers, and even the people that are supposed to be your junior. That's what it will take. Now, having said all that, the three things I want to zero on tonight, as I speak about the agenda of God for our generation, three principal things that are key to you being relevant, because the key word is relevance. You being what? Relevant. Three keys. Number one, revelation. 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 The ability to see appropriately. Or should I say the capacity to see. You know, you can be somewhere and yet not see everything. And because of your inability to see what needs to be seen, you will not be able to move appropriately. You will not be able to make the necessary move, take the necessary action, make the right decision because of your failure to see. You know, anytime I think about the word revelation, what comes to mind is 2 Kings. 2 Kings, go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15. The capacity to see. I need somebody to lay hands on his eyes or her eyes at this moment. Say, Lord. Can you say loud and clear? Say, Lord, I receive capacity to see effectively now. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, now, if you read from the beginning, you will realize there was a prophet of God by the name Elisha. I don't know if you know Elisha, the character. If you know Elisha, can you wave your hands? Hopefully we all went to Sunday school and, you know, children's church, so we're taught about Elisha, right? So, now, this man had the reputation of, you know, telling the king of the king of Israel, the battle strategy of the opponent, which was mostly the king of Syria. And it has happened over and over that the king of Syria felt so frustrated. And he felt in order to take out Israel, the strategy should be to take out their what? The prophet, who was always revealing what? The secret. So what did he do? He sent an army to literally have him killed or have him captured. So in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And this servant said unto him, the prophet, his master, what shall we do? Go further down, verse 16. And he, the prophet, answered, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. okay. Now, for as far as the servant could was concerned, I mean, what are you talking about? Can't you see what we're dealing with? We have people all around us. We are all surrounded. That's what I can see. And you are saying, fear not. We have more people with us. We are they. Because as far as I'm concerned, I can't see them. What I see now is that the army of Syria has surrounded us. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes. So it's possible for your eyes to be opened and for your eyes not to be opened. Because I thought this man saw with his eyes. And what he saw was the fact that they were surrounded by chariots of what? Horses. And you're saying, open his eyes. So he had eyes. And yet, there were things he could not see. Hey, I thought he saw before. But he said that he may see. Oh my God, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. You think you are seeing as far as your field is concerned, but God is saying you are not seeing anything. Amen. That's the reason why you are afraid. That's where the moment they raised the interest rate, you began to, hey, what about the house I wanted to buy? And God is saying, you know, it's actually in your favor. Can I prophesy freely tonight? So whenever you see fear, it's because of inability to see. Write it down. Fear is a symptom of blindness. We thought the servant was seeing, but really, he could not see. Because there are levels. He was seen on a lower level. But apparently, what he needed to see was on a higher level. So he saw on a lower level, and what he saw was he saw physical army surrounding them. But there was something Elisha was saying that this man could not see. So he prayed, he said, Lord, for us to fix this problem, he must see. I pray for somebody tonight. By this time, conference is ending on Sunday. You will be seen on another level. The only way we can help this guy is to pray for him to see. If we lay hands on him, his life won't change. Because hands can be laid on you, and if you are still blind, you will still be in the same problem. The only way to help you is to help make sure you see on that level. So he said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord, opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. There was no record that this man was physically blind. And yet he took a prayer of the prophet for him to now be able to see according to God's level. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, can I ask you a question? Was it Elisha's prayer that brought the horses and chariots of fire? Please answer me. He prayed, and as he was praying, the horses and the chariots of fire, they were coming from the north, the south. Was that what happened? Some of you think those horses and chariots of fire were already there. But because he did not see them, talking about the servant, he was afraid. Look at if you compare the attitude of Elisha and the man, you will realize what separated them was what they were able to see. Now, this guy, all of a sudden, was now able to see.
what has always been there.
I pray for somebody tonight. What is already with you in Christ Jesus, that you could not see until now, can you get on your feet? I feel the presence of God tonight. I declare, in this conference, you will see it. Hey, Labako, you did hear me. I said, from this 4 days conference, you will begin to see that. Somebody is trying to pray down the chariots and the horses of fire, and God is saying they're already there. The question is, can you see it? Because until you see it, it cannot benefit you. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. You may be seated. Verse 18. He said, and when they came down to him, Elijah prayed. Now, don't let us go to the details of the story of what happened after that. But the point I'm trying to make is this. The horses and the chariots of fire were there all this while, protecting them. And what was available for them in the horses and chariots of fire was much more than what the king of Syria sent against them. And because Elisha was aware of what was there, what the king sent against him meant nothing. But the prophet, the servant of the prophet, who did not know, who was in the same house and who had access to the same resources but could not see them, got scared and panicked. Do you know, in the journey of faith, and faith is all about creating the conduit to receive what God has reserved for us. In the journey of faith, the starting point is the ability to see. You know, some people are confessing God's word and nothing is happening. Because what they are saying, they have not seen it. There's a sin. You know, confession can be religious if there's no revelation. But there's a revelation that makes, that creates a reality. And when you say it, there's an activation. And things begin to happen. Revelation. So this man could not see. And because he could not see, he could not take advantage of what was available. God did not need to send any form of defense. Because the defense arrived before the opposition arrived. He just needed to see what was available. And now, let's bring it to our realm. Do you know what you have in Christ Jesus is enough? A lot of times we are screaming, God, do it. Present your power. Send this. And Jesus is looking at the Father at his right hand and saying, what power again? Because when I rose from the dead, he said, all power in heaven and earth is mine. Which power, what extra power do you want? I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 22. He said, the Jew, they desired a sign. And the Greek, they were seeking wisdom. But verse 24, he said, but Christ is the power of God to the Jews. And is what? The wisdom of God to the Greek. In other words, everything you need to be successful is already in Christ. You didn't hear me. Lift up your two hands and shout it like it's so real to you. Say, everything that I need to succeed is in Christ. You know, I know if somebody comes around now and start talking about how some people are cooking things against you in the village, how they have taken your name somewhere, and they have, it will be more real to somebody more than any other thing. Say, I've said it. What did you say? Now listen, there are forces of evil. There is a devil that is against your destiny. It's real. But there's something much more real. What you have in Christ. Is somebody listening to me? I said, what you have in Christ. everything that you need to succeed today, 2022, is already available. But the question is, can you see it? And you know, your pastor, did an amazing job letting you know there's something about, you know, going into the world, not just seeing it was, but seeing it until you see it. If you continue, if you stay long enough looking at it, he said, you will see him. And what you see will make you free. Hey, leku soto bobobo, malakataya, agagata. You know, there are problems you are running around for. Lord, give me solution. But the solution is already around. But the problem is you can't see it.
I remember 2002, we were still in California then, and, you know, we've been married for going to 3 years. And initially, my wife and I said, okay, we're young and we're missionaries. There's no point in making babies now. Let's focus on the assignment. So after like 1.5 years, like, okay, we're settled. Let's start making babies. And the babies were not coming. First month, second month, third month, fourth month. So after like 6 months plus, we went to see the doctor. And by the way, it's good to see the doctor. Should I say it again? I say it's good to see the doctor. Because some people say, why are you seeing the doctor? Are you not a man of faith? You're not seeing the doctor is mostly because you're afraid. It's not because you're a man of faith. You're afraid the doctor might say something you don't want to hear. Say, I don't see doctor. I just believe God. Anyway, we went to see the doctor. And they did some tests. And, you know, I traveled. I went on a mission to Nigeria. This was 20 years ago. And so by the time I got back, before I got back, the results was ready. So my wife told me, the result came out while you were gone. So let's go see the doctor so that he can explain the results to us. And I remember in San Jose, California, June 2000, I can't forget. It was a moment in my life that I can never forget. It will be 20 years this June. So the doctor looked at both of us in his office and said, I went through your samples and it was good. And he looked at my wife first and said, you're good, you're perfect. I'm like, okay, where's this Chinese man going? So, and he turned to me and said, you're the problem. I said, analyze your samples and, you know, I mean, it's really messed up, you know. I'm like, okay. He said, we can even try to artificial insemination. But maybe we should just think about adoption. I have nothing against adoption, but how can you just finish me like that? In the presence of my wife. Thank God for a godly woman. You try that with some women. You won't sleep in that house that night. So I've always said you are the problem. You are the problem. So you are the reason why can't I? Anyway, to cut the long story short, the man finished me from A to Z. And he said that was a problem. And you know, my samples were very draggy. So that, I think maybe that was a Thursday or so. So I went home and my wife was encouraging me. I was thinking, why won't you encourage me? They told you are perfect. I'm the one that needs encouragement. I said, don't worry. The man is lying. You have your child. But she wasn't moved. I'm serious. What if my woman of faith? Amazing. She didn't, no attitude, no quiet, no silent treatment. You know, in fact, she was speaking and encouraging me. But I was thinking, the man said, I'm the problem. So when we got home, are you listening to my story? So when we got home that weekend, you know, we were living in like, I think it was a 2-bedroom apartment in California then. So my wife said, are you coming to bed? I said, I'm not coming. Inside of me, coming to what? They just said, I'm the problem. And those days, there were no e-Bibles, computer Bible, but we had concordance. I don't know if you know strong concordance. I sat in the living room, opened it. Put my Bible next to it. And we had this Bible that has multiple translations. So, and I started searching for the word fruitfulness from Genesis. And we underline it. Hebrew, Greek. This translation, that translation. Heaven is my witness. And I took it from one verse, from one chapter to another chapter, from one verse to another verse. I probably had done it for hours. And in the middle of the night, while doing, just, by the way, I was not praying.
The reason why some of us don't get results is because we have not searched the scripture first. He said, whatever you ask according to my will. There's a confidence that comes with prayer when it's based on the will of God that you are aware of. You are not just saying it because you had somebody said, I prayed like that. If somebody's testimony is the foundation of your prayer life will be weak. But there's something about when your prayer is founded on the word of God. So I began to search and search and search. So after I've done it for like 2-3 hours, I can't even know where I was. All I know was in the middle of the night in that living room. Now, who's supposed to get pregnant? It's my wife, right? But right there, heaven is my witness. I felt pregnant. Meditating on the word, on fruitfulness. Apparently, what happened was that word entered me and corrected whatsoever was not working. Hey, Releko Soto, Bakataya, Manta. Do you know it was so real to me at that moment that I closed my Bible and said, it's time to sleep. My son was born March the following year. Do your maths. That was June. March 16, 2003, he came. So I said, did you go back to that doctor? Why? He has told me what he needed to tell me. At least what he told me helped me to realize that I needed to be intentional. I don't want to jump guns. That's the last place where I'm going. But it started with a revelation. I needed to see. Now, it's one thing to have a religious affair with the word. Hey, it was quoted to you in your Sunday school. You've had it. Your parents have used it several times. Your friend said it. But have you seen it? You know, you can be looking at a scripture every day and yet fail to see what the treasures in that word. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. That you may know. There's a knowing by revelation that changes the game. I knew. And everything changed. And bam, 9 months after the first child came. Will be 20 next year. And to prove it was not a fluke. The following year we added one. So after the second one, I said, no, there's no point. We don't need to prove any point again. We are proving the first time. It can't be a fluke. So we sealed it. And you know, somebody shared benediction. And that was it. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Do you know, if I had not seen that situation could have remained. And my son could have been born earlier. So it's possible that my son could have been maybe like 20 plus years old now. If I'd seen on purpose. I was a preacher. But I was not intentional. With fruitfulness. Fruitfulness had not formed by revelation. I knew fruitfulness, I had an affair with fruitfulness from a religious point of view. It was not a reality. I did not know it. But the day I knew it, it changed everything. Am I talking to somebody tonight? See, before this conference is over, by Sunday, I declare somebody will see something that will change everything. You know, there's something that somebody sees. And all of a sudden, the $250,000 a year means nothing. And he says, I'm resigning. And he says, they finally cut off from you, from the village. You know, what happened to you? Ah, who is chasing you? Who is after you? He said, no, if you see what I'm seeing, you realize that this $250,000 is stopping me from my destiny. Hey, can I prophesy tonight? I'm supposed to be paying salaries of $250,000. Hey, you didn't hear me. I'm supposed to be paying salaries of 250,000, not collecting 250,000. So for me to get there, I need to leave this. So fear is an indication that you have not seen. No. Now, when I was coming to Chicago 20 years ago, was I afraid it will not work? No! Of course, there were times that the enemy wanted to bring a picture of certain people that failed. But I was too excited of what God spoke to me. I saw it. I saw it that Silicon Valley did not matter. There was no amount of, you know, opportunity you could offer me in Silicon Valley that would make me change my mind, because what I saw was more real. I saw a future, a glorious future, an amazing future. I saw a ministry that would be impactful all over the world. And I knew I needed to launch it from Chicago. And I said, "Go, I'm going. Let's go there. My wife had a great job there. Everything seemed well. But God says, this is not the place. I know some of us like, no, God don't understand. God is not crazy. Why would God ask you to leave this? God will ask you to leave certain things because they are greater things. And it takes a man of revelation to be able to leave whatever seems great for what God has shown him. I've seen it. My move is informed by my revelation. Write it down. My move is informed by my what? Revelation. You know, people that have seen, they are obsessed with what they have seen. They are obsessed. They can't help it. And that takes me to the next level, imagination. You know, when you have, what you have seen by revelation is now meant to be turned into a blueprint that runs your life. Imagination. You know, the problem is a lot of Christians are very lazy. Oh, God showed me this, he showed me that. What are you doing with what God showed you? Are you just talking about it? Because there's such a thing as now, what dropped from your spirit, now being engaged by your mind. A conscious, you lock it down. God showed me now. You now lock it down and imprint it on your mind. Write the vision, make it plain. You are seeing it day and night. Because listen, a lot of people received revelation, but wasted it. At one point or the other, they were convinced, but they did not engage their imagination. You know, there's a way you bait your mind in your revelation. I remember I had a friend when we just left school. In fact, he left school earlier than me. Anointed, this guy knew word more than me. In fact, he taught me word to a large extent. And you know, he started this young fellowship that, I mean, we felt was thriving in Lagos. And the next thing, he got a bank job in Abuja. So he handed over the small fellowship and moved to Abuja. And was now supervising. What kind of supervision? It's not like he moved to Abuja to continue the work. He moved to Abuja to do what? So he left God's work for bank job. And so we said, no, it's practical wisdom. Which practical wisdom? Now, if ministry is not your calling, maybe that's wisdom. But if ministry is your calling, that's the height of foolishness. A few years later, I was complaining to me. He said, the young man handed the fellowship to mess it up. I'm like, did you not mess it up first? it would have been very, very stupid of that young man to be faithful with the work. The person that received the vision now gave you the vision. And he said, I'm going. I've seen some things. You know, I've seen something. I mean, the vision will die. You know, anytime I think of that young man, who is no longer young again, he's in his 50s, it pains my heart. Because I literally, potential that was never realized. Because a revelation was not fully engaged. So it's one thing to have a revelation. It's another, I don't know who I'm talking to. This is not just ministry. It's career. It's different things. God is showing you. Can I pray prayer for somebody? The idea God is giving you now, may you not see it in the future. That somebody is running with it. You know, it has happened a lot. Somebody will now release it. You now become a global. They say, I remember. I thought of it. You are irresponsible. That's what it means. Because you saw it, but you never engage it. There is a conscious engagement of revelation by imagination. Because what, you know, now, revelation, it came from God, right? Imagination is you honing it. You hone it. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know the person that needs to go back to certain ideas, certain things that God revealed to him 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. You toyed with it and toyed with it and toyed with it. To the glory of God, I have things that God is using to bless me today amazingly that I could have wasted if not for help from above. It came. I mean, to the glory of God, we have a media company that is doing extremely well all over the world in 4 continents today. I could have wasted it, Pastor Emmanuel. It was very easy. I mean, when I was doing the morning, the midnight, whatever, I thought I was just doing something for God, for ministry. And he came, and you know, people say, oh, wow, we saw you, LED. It's so beautiful. Who did it for you? And I was running my mouth from here to here, a foolish man. I contacted somebody who was in China. The Lord told me, "Say, are you not?" So I gave you something. Now you are running. Some of you talk too soon. I said, "Lord, how should I respond?" He said, "The next time somebody asks you, tell him it's your company. Is it not your company? Are you not the brain behind it?" I said, "Yes." So I said, "It's our company. It's our company. It's our company. If I tell you what that company has done in the last 3 years." I could have lost it. And there was no announcement when I was getting the revelation. Okay, contact this person, speak to this company. But there was no announcement. Oh, Jehovah, speaking to you. But it was just coming smoothly. It was a super. I declare you will not miss out on your revelation. Just this afternoon, God was giving me some new insight into what we've been doing. He said, you know, you can do it better. You can do this. I quickly wrote it down. I engaged my mind quickly. I started talking to people. Okay. Contact. Can you fabricate this for me? Because we're thinking of, you know, taking it to this standard level. There's an engagement. You engage your soul with your revelation. You lock it down. You lock it down. Am I talking to somebody tonight? You lock it down until it's so real to you. What you have seen must be engaged in your mind if you don't want to lose it. There's an engagement. You lock it down. You meditate. Now, we meditate on God's word, but it's not only God's word we meditate on. We meditate on any revelation that God speaks to your what? To your heart. God is trying to open your eyes. Listen, God did not create you to be broke. Get on your feet, everybody. I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lift up your right hand and say, I was not created. If you don't want to be rich, you can sit down. Say, I was not created to live an ordinary life. I was not created to live a poor life. I was created to rule and reign in my world. So right now, I declare my eyes are anointed to see what is mine. And I declare my mind engages it right now. Sit down. Loud and clear. I see it. But I don't only see it, I imagine it. Even the ministry we are doing today. Ladies and gentlemen, there were days we had no invitation. Holidays. I would be pretending my mother's house. Close the door. The power of God is there. Your life is good to bring this word of God to you all the way from where? Oshosami, Ibadan. Because that was where I was living. My junior ones suffered because they were my specimen. You know, I came from a family of four boys and I'm the eldest. I lined them up one after the other. I said, lift up your hands. I practice laying on of hands, using them. Take the power of God. It's on you. It's on you. It's on you. You better cooperate. If you don't cooperate, the earlier you fall, the better. I remember the very first time Reverend George came to our church. I will never forget. 1991. He preached and he quoted someone. Blessed is the man that walketh on the counsel of God, in us time the way of the sinners, not sitting in the seat of the comfort of us. Ah, I got up that day. I said, I crammed someone. I had to practice this. Blessed is the man. To the glory of God, today we share the same pulpit. Like in this conference. I remembered I went to preach in Denmark about 7 years ago. And, you know, after I preached in that church, he was now invited to preach in the same church. So when he got there, so they were telling him, oh, wow, there was this man that came from Chicago. He blessed us. I said, what's his name? They mentioned his name. So he called me and said, Abiel. They said, you blessed them here. You know, and we were just laughing over the phone. But you know, there was a time I was just looking at it. So it's possible for somebody to quote scripture like this. Now, there was a call of God upon my life already. But there was a need for an engagement. I engage it. I engage it so much. I was supposed to be in pharmacy school. Pharmacy lost meaning to me. Because I've seen my future. Some of you, you've seen future that you did not engage. You saw it, but you were casual with it. You were casual with it. Say, okay, what will be, will be. Ah, a revelation can be wasted. Write it down. If a revelation is not engaged, it will be what? Wasted. So if God said it, it will come to pass. There are so many things that God said that did not come to pass because the individuals involved were too lazy to engage. There's an engagement, a conscious engagement, because there will be things that want to fight that future. I see it. I lay hold on it. There'll be challenges. There'll be situations. People will challenge you. They will tell you you have lost your mind. People will counsel you. Well-meaning people against what you have seen. Even your spouse might not even understand it at first. I remember Reverend George sharing this. In fact, we've laughed over it several times. When he just started out he was in Polytechnic then lecturing. And, you know, he had his students. His students were his congregation. And one of them was Reverend Victor. He was in NT1. Kwarapoli then. And they would be following him around, Reverend Victor, Reverend Sam, all over the place. And he was a young man just starting out. In the sitting room, they would sit. He said his wife would just walk past them. Keep on deceiving all of them. People that should be reading their books, you are wasting their time. Say, we just walk past them. Because at the beginning of the ministry, even his wife doubted his ministry. So you better face your lecturing job. You know, each of those people that sat down in this living room today, if you know the amount of thousands of souls attributed to each one of those ministries. And that's what, do you know, when you mess up, a generation might be messing up. Your failure to respond to the call of God might be grounding destinies. If for the sake of those destinies alone, don't you think you should be responsible? There are people tied to your loins. And here you are casual with what God has revealed to you. He said, I don't have time. Now, he talked about coming to Chicago and finding his purpose in Chicago, but I had to come to Chicago first. I remember those days. He was in IT. He came to do masters with a job offer with Microsoft. He has even done internship, right? He has done internship already just to fully cross over. And somebody set him up, brought him to our church. And he said, I like it. And the rest is history. So your failure to engage might be denying a generation. And all of you now, you have testimony. I mean, Pastor, my life changed.
Somebody had to engage. He had to engage. And now you are engaged. Get on your feet, everybody. Loud and clear. A lot of us are casual with our revelations. It starts with the ability to see. But the question is, what are you doing with what have you seen?
I'm just talking about it.
Are you doing something with it? Now, I'm talking about what I've used. But I'm so sure if God should show me what I've wasted, it will take the grace of God not to be sad. Because I could have wasted that thing. I could have wasted it. Because I did not know God just dropped an idea that will not only feed me, but we feed. There are people feeding in Canada today. There are people feeding in Nigeria today based on those ideas. There are people collecting salary every month. One of the people working for me does not have a college degree. This last month alone, he made 450,000. No college degree. I'm talking about in Nigeria. 450,000. No high school diploma. So my failure to engage would have denied that young man of the opportunity. What he's doing, he did not learn it from anywhere. He learned it just by working for the company. And now he's blessed enough to say, oh, I made half a million. And half a million naira in Nigeria for someone that didn't go to school. How many of you know that's a lot of money? Because I don't know how many people that didn't go to school that makes that much amount of money. But the revelation had to be engaged. I purposely have not just used ministry examples. Because there's a way I can just use ministry examples. I say, oh, yeah. You know, but I'm not a preacher. To the glory of God, I'm a preacher, but I'm also opportune to have expression beyond pulpits. I believe ideas are going to come to you from God. They are not ordinary ideas. They are supernatural ideas. They are revelation. God will allow you to see what ordinary people cannot see. The same way that prophet, that servant saw angels, you will see things that are waiting for you. Can I prophesy over somebody tonight? At your workplace, you will see needs. And God will tell you, form a company around those needs. And by the time you are telling them, I'm resigning, they will be like, with this job, it's a good piece of well-paying job. Say, I've seen something. And because you will not be afraid, can I prophesy? People say, but it's risky. Say, I saw it. One of the things the Lord told me, he said, believers are going to form corporations more than ever in this season. We will run a world supernaturally by divine ideas. Amen. You will see. And once you see it, you will lock it down. 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 You will engage your mind. The third part I was going to talk about, apparently maybe Reverend George will talk about it, but let me just brush it. I mean, there's an intentionality of faith when you now begin to speak it out. Write it down. There's a scene, there's an engagement, there's a what? It's you speaking out. We have in the same spirit of faith as it is written, we have believed. Therefore, we have also what? Spoken. You speak it out by faith. You call it those things that be not as though they were. You say it. God has said it. I believe it. I saw it. I engage it. Now I'm saying it. You speak to the mountain. You know, Jesus spoke to everything. He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the dead. He spoke to the dumb. And everything he spoke to, listen to him. Your word will listen to you. The reason why they are not listening is because you are not speaking enough. A lot of us are like those disciples who are complaining, who are scared when they saw the violent sea, they saw the storm. But Jesus woke up from his sleep and he said, peace be still. And peace be still was enough. Just a few weeks ago, one of my sons in Canada, who went on mission trip to Nigeria, the wife, who is a medical doctor, called me very late in the night. And he said, Daddy, I'm sorry to disturb you. I said, what's the problem? He said, our first child, 30-year-old, has not been able to sleep since morning. He has been holding to. He said, you know, this devil is a stupid devil. The father was there preaching in Nigeria. The daughter was screaming. And the mother, a doctor, was scared.
He said that we've tried everything. We've used all manner of drugs. Nothing changed. And that's why he said she called you. It was about 10:30 p.m. or thereabout. It was about 3 weeks ago. And I said, can you call her? Let her come close to the phone. So I say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the root of whatever is messing you up. I speak to it right now. Cease! And I dropped the phone. The mother called me back 30 minutes after. I said, as soon as we are done talking, speaking, she fell asleep. You know, she woke up the following morning like nothing happened. I still spoke to her like one and a half minutes ago. Say, thank you, Daddy. I'm fine. Ever since then, he never came back. Listen, there are things you are using drug for. You are supposed to be speaking to. I'm not saying don't use drug. I'm a pharmacist by training, by the way. So I'm nothing against drug. But there are things you're just supposed to address. Speak. There's power in your words. Somebody shout power. Come on, scream and say power. There's a revelation, there's a capturing by imagination, and there's a what? An activation by what? Speaking. Speak it, speak it, speak it. The place you are in today was spoken out. I remember the former place, storefront, spoke it out. Spoke it out. I remember when God gave us the apostolic place, you know, initially you were excited, then afterwards you started thinking, hey, how do you keep this place? But the glory of God, the place is so equipped now today. I mean, you know, when they contacted about Synod conference, say, okay, think can she come? Say, come. That has always been the plan. Come, come. And when we were talking to the band, and say, okay, what do we need? What are you guys bringing for the event, which is going to be next week Saturday, by the way? They said, we looked at your images and your videos. We don't think we need to bring anything. She will just come with her crew. I think you've got everything covered. I say, okay, talk to me. Yeah, listen to me. There was a time, it was just fate. It was intimidating. How do you? But your words. I say your words. And I had the Lord saying, you've not seen anything. There's more coming. Can I prophesy over somebody tonight? Speak. It's free. Or when was the last time you were speaking and they charged you? Say, you have spoken too much. This is your bill. Anybody who has ever been charged for speaking too much? In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Verse 3 says, and God said, why did he speak? He spoke because he did not like what he saw. It was void, it was dark, it was clumsy, it was upside down, and he spoke, light be. Do you know all through Genesis chapter 1, God was speaking. How can you be a product of a talkative God and you are there muted all over? What's going on? I don't know. Stop it! Wake up! In this family, we speak. That's how we activate. I don't know what is there. You can wake it up right now. You can wake up that career. I don't know who I'm talking to. You've been going around saying, you know, I don't know what's wrong with my career. You are what is wrong with your career. You've not been speaking. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm helped. I have opportunities. I'm in high demand. The world is seeking me everywhere. I see something massive coming somebody's way. I made an announcement at the beginning, and I'm going to make an announcement. Who was the fellow that God sent me to here tonight? Who is the person? Where are you? Can you identify yourself? I saw in the realm of the spirit, and I saw somebody coming out of his hiding place. You've been a Gideon hiding, and God said, you are a mighty man of valor. You can do it. Who told you can't do it? Go do it. It's your time. It's your season. Loud and clear. Are you ready for what God is about to do in this season? So first of all, say, Lord, open my eyes to see. Then, Lord, help me to be responsible enough to what? Engage. And after I've engaged, Lord, help me with the intentionality of faith to activate it. I say it.
that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We say it everywhere. We are not afraid. We say it. So we see it, we engage it, and we what? We release it. Come on, is the word clear to you tonight? That's the word God gave me tonight as I was thinking about you. God told me, said, go tell them. It's their time. But somebody must see. Then engage what he has seen. Then what? Boldly declare what he has what? Seen and engaged. So we download it from our spirit. We engage it with our mind. Do you know, we often say, oh, that the creativity of man is tied to his spirit. I believe. But do you know, a good percentage of the release of creativity is tied to your mind. I don't know about you. You know, I think about the unsaved people. People like El in the mosque. I mean, I wish I was smarter. Because I was, wait, Tesla, I know where they start. I can take you there. I was living there 20 years ago. I used to walk past that place. Oh, I said, oh, they are trying to make electric cars. I know the place in Fremont, California. Toyosi, I know. I was telling someone, say, why were you? Why was I not so mad? Just buy their shares anyhow. We used to mock it. That man that is trying to make electric cars. In fact, he has not bought it there because he bought it from the initial people. He was like, oh yeah, oh that's the warehouse. And you know, I know the place. Somebody saw it. When the rest of us were like, okay, they said they are trying to. And the way things are going, it's going to get to a point that almost every household in America must have an electric car. Even me tonight, I'm here tonight, I have a Range Rover. Guess what I brought? The Tesla. As my wife said, you just become, she doesn't even bother again. Say, baby, are you going out today? And she's like, no really, can I use your car? Because it's more convenient to just drive without picking gas. Because you know, you just charged it. But it was a time we used to, they're trying to make an electric car. Electric car. What is he thinking? Is he high? Mind captured it. And you now have the spirit of God. You have an ability to see what ordinary people cannot see. They engaged just based on what they saw in the natural. You have an ability to see beyond the natural. Do you know, a lot of times, the difference is because they are more responsible with the engagement of the little they saw in the natural. And you, with all the revelation, the Spirit of God is loading your spirit. If you can only take a fraction of it and tie it down. Hey! Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It has not come to the understanding of men. You know, I'm tired of believers saying, an idea comes out and say, and I used, it came to my mind. How many of you have heard it before? It came to my mind. Never did anything about it until somebody engaged it, deployed it, and now the solution is out. You know, there are solutions that our world will be running after in 5 years' time. That somebody is conceiving now. I believe you will be one of the people that will conceive great ideas that will rule your world. But guess what? You will not just download it, you will engage it. You will not just engage it, you will activate it. And bam! Let there be, there will be. And you will fall. Come on, lift up your hands unto heaven. Come on, why are you blessed tonight? Did you receive? Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 2 minutes? Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 2 minutes? I have capacity to see. I'm responsible to engage. And I boldly declare, based on my engagement, Masota bara lakasha, ekria lakosa tababa, mento soboku wakata. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Mesutaba Ekeketo Koba Akakato Yovobo Listen to this. I want to pray for somebody tonight. If it's just one person, I'm fine. Of course, I'll pray for your pastor. I won't forget. But before I pray, let me share something with you. Several years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, a pastor in the city of Akure, Nigeria, called one of the, you know, senior pastors in Lagos who was into, you know, entrepreneurship. And he says, this young man in our church, Shegu is his name. Shegu is very, very creative. Well, I've seen him waste so many ideas. Can you mentor him? The name of the pastor in Lagos is Boye Shegun, was the student, Federal University of Technology, part two or so. Then. So, Boye came around to preach in Akure, and Shegun was introduced to Boye. And you know, Shegun was like, Pastor Boye, good to meet you. I've heard so much about you. Blah, 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 blah. I have this idea. You know, the pastor said, the guy is always having ideas, but wasting it. I have this idea, blah, 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 blah. So there was one idea. Somebody said one idea. There was one idea he shared about digital marketing. And we felt there's something on this idea. So this is a true life story. So Boye called his friends, some of his friends in the industry, said, there's this young man, a student, who has this beautiful idea. I think we should invest in it. The investment will cost us about $40,000 then. Now, and his friend kind of felt like, not for me, not now. So all the friends said, no, we're not interested. So after all of them had declined, God spoke to him and said, did I ask you to call your friends? When God is giving you something, may you not throw it away. So he said, it's you that will put all that $40,000 down. He said, okay. Since you said it, so he called Chef and said, okay, let's do it. Here is the money. And he was working for GE then. So he said, okay, let's do it. Just set it up. So Shegun, a part two, part three student, started running with the ideas. Anyway, to cut the long story short, $40,000 became $1 million in 1 year. A student in Futa. He will go to classes in the morning, quickly change, and run to the office. So his staffs were graduates, and they did not know he was still a student. An idea. God told me to pray for creative people tonight. You are here, you're one of those people, you're always having ideas. People have made fun of you, crazy ideas. But some of those crazy ideas, if they are rightly placed, you're one of those people. Can you come forward? I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me, said, pray for creative people tonight. You're just one of those people that's always having those ideas. Maybe you have wasted some, but God told me a new season is coming. I don't know. I saw here, there's somebody that something has to do with photography. I don't know. But Janice, are you interested enough? Come close. Ideas. All of you, come forward if you're one of those people. One of you, as a little girl, you used to have a lot of dreams. In fact, I saw you as a little girl, you draw a lot. You are quite creative. And drawing is actually an avenue to express your creativity. But beyond drawing, there's a depth of creativity in you. But over time, based on the struggles and the challenges of life, you kind of changed. And there's been a struggle with your creativity. Tonight, I see that portal of creativity unlocked in you. By the way, if you are that lady I'm describing, can you move forward closer? Lift up your two hands. Is it you, ma? Thank you. You got busy with life, and you know, you got more practical. But tonight I speak
to that fountain of creativity in you. I declare freshness tonight. That's it. Lift up your two hands. The power of God is so strong in this place. We are creators in the kingdom. Did you hear me? I said we are what? We are creators in the what? In the kingdom. There's actually another person here. You actually use your left hand. You use your left hand very well. And you are very good with, you know, anything craftsmanship. And the Lord told me, he said, there's going to be a fresh wave upon your life from tonight that will release you into an amazing season of productivity. If you're that person, can you move closer? You actually use your left hand very well. And you're very good with, you know. But the Lord told me, he said, you are coming into a new season of creativity. Lift up your two hands, everybody. In the name of Jesus, I declare capacity to dominate afresh. No more struggle with your creativity. That's it. No more struggle with your creativity. No more struggle. The fountain of creativity unlocked. In the name of Jesus, you will go back to whatever you are doing. And I see you released in creativity afresh. In the name of Jesus, that's it. Wealth of creativity. You will not just have ideas. You will run with ideas. I saw somebody else. You used to draw cartoons when you were younger. Cartoons. Yes. You draw cartoons. Cartoons. I saw you drawing cartoons. You are that creative. The Lord told me, he said, you are coming into a fresh season of creativity and productivity. By the laying on of my hands, I declare fresh. Yummy, where's Yummy? Or somebody to help me with my. I declare fresh ideas coming upon you. You will not waste them. God told me, he said, you have wasted opportunity before, but now you are coming to a season of wisdom. You will not just be creative, you'll be wise. Oh, what an anointing. Lift up your hands. You will not be, because a lot of creative people are very wasteful. But you will not just be creative, you'll be what? Wise. Pastor Wesley, God told me, he said, I put in you capacity to create companies. He said, the same way you created that one, he said, you will still create more. He said, this is not the final one. And he said, the present struggle is not meant to say, you are not doing the right thing, but it's to help you create a path to do it better. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands unto heaven. The presence of God is strong. Creativity on another level. Pastor Emmanuel, people are going to come out of this conference and say, something happened to me. Something happened to me. I woke up. Ideas I had as a young person, all of a sudden, began to come back to me. I woke up. Creativity unleashed in the name of Jesus. By the laying on of my hands, I release you into a fresh season of creativity. Yes, dominate, create and dominate in the name of Jesus. That's it. Create and dominate in the name of Jesus. That's it. Create and dominate. I want companies created by believers, run by believers. Mato shotabala kataya erelekia satababa mantaya, not just paying bills, not just working to pay bills, but supernaturally helped to create by God, assisted by heaven. Manto sobokwa. As I was praying, I saw angels giving gifts to people tonight. Some of you are leaving this place tonight, and there will be an unusual anointing. I see angels giving gifts to people. Close your eyes. Don't be distracted. I see angels giving gifts to people tonight. Supernatural things are going to be happening in your life. People are going to be coming into your life. Creativity is going to wake up afresh. And one of the things that will happen, Pastor Emmanuel, you will be surrounded. I see people being surrounded by relevant people. People that will know what to do with your gifts. Master, God will introduce you to butlers that will mention your gift in the palace. Do you know, without the butler in the life of Joseph, Joseph would have died in that prison. And the palace would not have heard of his gift. I speak as a prophet of God tonight. After tonight, whosoever is supposed to hear you. You know, some of you think the people that will announce you are people in high places. But butler was in the prison. Even in that prison phase, I declare God will send you the butler that will announce you. Mato sokruba kataya. Mataya, loud and clear. Somebody shout loud and clear. I see clearly. I engage intentionally and I declare actively, loud and clear.